Okay, everybody, good afternoon. Let's begin. So the title of the shiur is How the Third Temple We Built Compared to the Second Temple. Okay, so I'll just, before I begin, I'm not discussing how we're actually going to build the Beis HaMikdash. I follow the Shita of the Rambam. Rambam holds the mitzvah. So because it's the mitzvah, I assume we're going to build it. Build it. Rashi mentions that the third Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven. I can speculate what that means, but I'm not going to. Okay? But there's definitely a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm sure that Am Yisrael, never wanting to give up a mitzvah, a special mitzvah like that, will be involved on some level in building the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not what I'm going to speak about. We know that until we correct what's wrong, we can't build the third Beis HaMikdash. Now, I would tell you a thought I once had, that we know, as we'll see in the Gemara, and this is very important. And we have to take notice of why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because really it's extremely relevant to us today. Extremely relevant. And, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, we learned the Nevi'im, we learned the Chumash, and people say, I can't believe they did that. If I was there, I never would have done that. Now, all we need is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring a Navi. That's all I need. Or maybe God should perform a miracle for me. Right? And then I respond, I say, what are you talking about? There are no miracles today, which is why it's very important, as I said before in the past, to take note of the miracles that happened on a daily basis in Medinat Yisrael. There are definitely miracles all over the place happening, there's no question. It might not be the same way the miracle is described in the Torah, the way it's described in the Nevi'im, but the miracles are there, and that's what I tell people. And then, listen to Nevi'im. Who says that if you were in a time of Nevi'im, you would listen to Nevi'im? Who says that if Yirmiyahu HaNavi was coming here and he was contradicted by false prophets, that we would listen to Yirmiyahu HaNavi? You know, there's a Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Beis, a Gemara about Rav Ashi, the great Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi was discussing various malachim, and he made a comment to his students, okay, tomorrow we're going to discuss our friend Menashe. Menashe, we all know Menashe. Menashe is probably the king who is responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That after he ruled, see, even though Yoshiyahu did appear, he wasn't able to turn the clock back. And Menashe, Rav Ashi referred to him as his friend. That night in a dream, Menashe appeared to Rav Ashi, the Gemara relates, and says, you don't even know where to make Hamotzi, you're calling me your friend? So in the end, Rav Ashi says to Menashe, why did you sin so much? And Menashe says to Rav Ashi, if you would have lived on my time, you would have picked up your coattails to run after Avodah Zarah. It's a very difficult Gemara. But the deeper message of the Gemara is that we all think we would have been different, we would have been better. But if we would understand what's going on at that time, the background of history, what people were saying, what people were doing, you know, our response might not have been the same. And therefore, it's very important to learn what happened, why it happened, so we can go ahead and we can correct ourselves. People talk about, you know, if there was a Navi, there was a Navi. I would listen to the Navi. I just spent 6 days in Budapest. Okay, why did I go to Budapest? I don't have Hungarian ancestors. I needed to get away. And I went to there's one museum about the Holocaust there. And what I found fascinating, the second half of the museum are things that I always saw, but what I found fascinating was about Jewish-Hungarian history. And from 1920, basically until the Nazis rounded up all the Hungarian Jews, and by the way, you should know that the efficiency, the way they rounded up the Hungarian Jews in such a short amount of time, was not replicated anywhere. Okay, that was with the help of the Hungarian people. But from 1920 until this, one slight break in the middle, until the Nazis, there was such anti-Semitism. You look at the decrees, it was so clear. It was so clear. And I'm sitting there thinking, looking and saying, I don't understand. To me, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending a message. You know what? The anti-Semitism was unbelievable. The decrees that are coming through. You just look at the statistics that were going on. And Hashem was sending a message. It's time to get out. Okay? So,
So there's no Nevuah today. It's not the same. So it's, the point is that we all think, well, if we would have lived at that time, we would have been different. Okay. So first of all, we don't live at that time. But second of all, we have to take notice and realize maybe we wouldn't have been different. That's why it's important to learn and hear how it applies to us. I'll just quickly finish off one idea. We know that the third Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. And everyone, we have to have Havas Chinam, and of course, and then you look around and you say, well, is it really Havas Chinam? And you see there's machlokas. And there's machlokas about money, about monetary matters. And you begin to see if people actually have an animosity towards each other. And I was just thinking about a story today. I said, as a kid, I think I saw this, maybe in the back of an Olamenu, I have no idea, what can I tell you? That once two people came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, they were complaining about a certain piece of property. Reuven says, this land belongs to me. And Shimon says, this land belongs to me. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, hold on, let me see what the land says. And he lies down on the ground, and he puts his ear to the ground, and he says, you know what the land is saying? He says, these two guys belong to me. Right? The thing is, he says, I was thinking about that. He says, we all think that, we talk about they did this and they did that. It's very important to learn how it's relevant to us, because as the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin implies, if Rav Ashi could have ran to worship Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara Maseches seems to imply, then certainly, these things could be very relevant to us. And that's why it's important to take notice, and not just to think of it as a historical fact, but as something that is happening in our time also. So let's look and see. How did they build the second Beis HaMikdash? Did they accomplish that? And what do we have to do to build the third Beis HaMikdash? So we start off with source number one, very famous, the Makar, the Gemara Maseches Yuma, which we'll come back to. Gemara says, Mikdash Rishon Neimai Charev, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because there were three major sins. Very famous Gemara, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilui Arayos, incest, Ushfichas Damim, and there was murder. Okay, so that's, everyone knows. However, if we look at other Gemaras, we find there are other reasons that are given for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He says, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, my Gemara Maseches Nedarim Dav Chav Pei Aleph from the Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, my Dichsiv, what does it mean when it's written, Mi Isha Chacham V'Yavin Ezos, who is the person that's wise and understands this? He says, Dabar Zen Misha Allah Chachamim. This question was asked to the Chachamim, and it could be Ul Nevi'im. And to the prophets, V'lo Pirshua, no one explained what it means. Ad Shapirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. In other words, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And we have to assume that since it's from Sefer Yirmiyahu, because we're talking to Baruch Nevuah, let's assume we're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. Why is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? If we talk about the second Beis HaMikdash also, why was it destroyed? He says, in general, he says, Ad Shirishonim, I think assume it's the first Beis HaMikdash, Ad Shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself explains it, Dichsiv Yomer Hashem Al Azam Is Torasi, because they forsake my Torah. So the question, what do you mean forsake the Torah? The Pasuk says, Hayna Lo Sham V'Koli, Hayna Lo Halchu Ba. So what's the idea? Is Azam Is Torasi? Amar Rav Yehud, Amar Rav, She'em Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila. They didn't make Berachas HaTorah. The Beis Halevi explains, what does it mean in Berachas HaTorah? They didn't make Berachas HaTorah. They didn't realize that Torah was special, that everyone should learn it. In other words, they felt, yeah, I need to know what to do, so I'll go to the rabbi. The rabbi will tell me. So they didn't see Berachas HaTorah as being something special, that it's such a schus to learn, to ignite you a certain sense of passion. So we see the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, not just because of Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shefichas Damim, the three cardinal sins. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't say Berachas HaTorah. Then there's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Lo Charba Yerushalayim, why was Yerushalayim, why was Jerusalem destroyed? Ela Bishvil Shechilu Ba'as HaShabbos. Because they were machalei profane Shabbos, to quote the pasuk in Yechezkel, that they allow people to machalei Shabbos. Rav Avuah comes along and says, Lo charvo Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was destroyed, ela bishvil shebitlu kriyashma shachris va'arvis. They didn't take Zman, they didn't take kriyashma seriously enough, in the morning and in the evening. Then it goes on. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Lo Charva Yerushalayim Ela Shebit Luba Kinochos Beis Rabbah. You know why Yerushalayim was destroyed? It's because the children weren't involved in learning Torah. They didn't feel Jewish education was important. And he says, then Amar Ula, he quotes, they were outside in the streets. Amar Ula, Lo Charva Yerushalayim Neshalohayalem Boshes Ponim Zemizet. Yerushalayim was only destroyed. Why? Because one person was not embarrassed before another one. A person would feel they can do anything and not be embarrassed. They lack a certain modesty. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Chaver Yerushalayim Yishvil Shishvukatim V'Gadol. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they considered youngsters and those who were older to be on the same level. Understand, there are leaders who have to be respected. There are older people that have to be respected. He says, then along comes Rav Amram, you know, I was always raised as a child to always speak to those who were older than me with a mister, a rabbi, a missus, right? And I was doing it until 2 or 3 years ago in my shul. And I realized I was referring to people 20 years younger than me, you know, with the same, with the surname in front of it. And they would get a little insulted. But it was crazy. You have to have certain respect for people older than you. He's the Amar of Shem Barab, Amar of Amram. Yerushalayim was destroyed. Shelo chichu zezeh. One person not give mussar to another was not concerned with other one's failings. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, the Yerushalayim was destroyed because they're mevazeh talmidei chachamim. So the Chofetz Hashem, one of the achronim, points out, he asks the question, why all these reasons? So is it a machlokes, what avera they were over? So in source number 5, he says, no. He says, everyone knows every one of these, he says, one of these averas, the Jews committed. And each of these mandarim say that if they had not done this one avera, that would have saved Jerusalem. We have to understand, why is that? Whereas they said, everyone agrees, yes, it was Chilul Shabbos. There was a problem with the children, you're not going to school. There was a problem someone didn't give mussar to his friend in the proper way. He says, says, what would have saved Yerushalayim? What action would have gone ahead and saved Yerushalayim? Alright, so Jewish people come back. They come back to Eretz Yisrael after the Churban Bayis Rishon. And they have a problem. Because they say, well, how are we going to make sure it doesn't happen again? This is a very famous Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, source number 7 and 8, which I can't explain fully, but just to understand, you know, what happens. The Gemara says like this, that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodin Ha Yisrael Ba'avodah Zarah Shein Ba'mamash. He says that the Jewish people knew, understood, idolatry, there's nothing tangible. There's nothing real about idolatry. So why did they worship Avodah Zarah? Because they wanted to allow certain types of incest, and if you worship a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't allow this incest. So therefore, they worship Avodah Zarah. So Eliyahu HaTzadik tells a story, was going ahead and was walking around seeing the Tapukei Rav, those who were so hungry in Yerushalayim, and one time he found a certain child who was swollen from hunger, lying in the street. And he said to him, which family do you come from? This is Samachim Levez, Masechet Sanhedrin, source number 7. She says, I come from, you know, this family, Mishpacha Plonis. She says, anyone left from your family? She says, no, except for me. She says, I'm going to teach you something that you can live by. Connect you to something eternal. He says, do you want to hear it? He says, yes. So he's taught him to say the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He says, don't tell me the name of Hashem. And he took a little idol out from his pocket. He kissed it and he hugged it until his stomach cracked. And he fell on this idol. So, Gemara asked the question. Gemara says, what are you talking about? He says, so what do we see from here? We see from here that they did cling to Avodah Zarah. So the answer is yes. Later on, as they practiced Avodah Zarah for a reason, in order to allow incest, they became connected. When they first started off, they believed that Avodah Zarah wasn't real, but after years and years of practicing it, all of a sudden becomes part of you. So the Gemara says that's what happened. So then the Gemara tells him, brings from Mother Medrash, that he says when the Jewish people got back to Eretz Yisrael, they cried out the Kol Gadol. And what do they say? They say, this Avodah Yetzirah, Avodah Zarah. It destroyed our temple. It burnt our sanctuary. Tzaddikim were killed because of it, and we were exiled. And we still feel the Avodah Zarah. So he says, the whole reason we have the Yetzirah is in order to get Tzchar. Because if it's so much more challenging not to worship Avodah Zarah, idolatry, we have more Tzchar. We don't want the Tzchar. We don't want reward, and we don't want the punishment. So he says, so what happened? So he says, so again, we see, Gemara says, we see they clung to it. That was after they worshipped it for so many years. Okay? So they sat 3 days in a fast. They asked, they davened. And what happened was, a note came down from heaven. And what did the note say? Emes. If you don't deal with this, Yetzirah Avodah Zarah, you have a problem. This is Emes. And we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu sealed his Emes. So what happened? So he says, some kind of fiery lion came out of the Holy of Holies, and Levi Yisrael said to the Jewish people, this is the Yetzirah Avodah Zarah. So he says, so as they caught it, so they took out, plucked out one here, and the voice of this lion, the roar, the cry, reached 400 parasangs, a great distance. So he says, if we let the lion keep crying out, the Yetzirah keep crying out, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanis on it. So the Navi said to it, put it into a container, a jail of lead, and the lead will go in, the lead will swallow the cry. So, and they quote a pasuk. So then they said, well, maybe now that it's an Eis Ratzon, it's a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering our prayers. Let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tefillos to kill the Yetzirah. Let us capture the Yetzirah for incest also. So they captured it for 3 days. And the Gemara tells a famous story. They were looking for an egg that was just laid for a person that was not well. They couldn't find. So he says, what are we supposed to do? To ask God to weaken the Yetzirah? God does not weaken the Yetzirah. He says, so we'll ask God to go ahead and, because in other words, if we destroy the Yetzirah, right, that means people, it's like, in other words, people will not, males and females will not desire each other. You won't have amongst the animals the same idea. We need the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah for men and women to be with each other is very important. We can't destroy it. But we'll ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to blind it, and at least, people won't desire their relatives. See, even though during the time of the first temple, it's very hard to understand. The Torah says it's also, that's not hard to understand. People desired siblings and relatives. Today it doesn't really exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they blinded the Yetzirah. Okay, so the question is, so what does this mean? From this Gemara it sounds that what happened was the Jewish people went ahead and they asked God to destroy the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. That's what happened. Could be. The way I understand Pshat is like this. Of course, you know, we have to go ahead and we always have to do a certain yishtadlus. But any yishtadlus that we do is not going to work unless we put an effort into it. If we don't put an effort into it, I mean, about daven, it's a daven. We have to daven. It's a daven. A person can't daven the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to learn Torah and become a Talmud Chacham, and then not learn. It doesn't work. So in order to go ahead and in order to destroy the Yetzirah, I think what had to happen, and we'll see this a little bit later, is they had to channel the same thing that was pushing the Yetzirah in a certain way. Right? In a certain way. The same thing. So we want to channel in a certain way. Channel it that we should use it somehow or another in a positive way. So as opposed to being involved in Avodah Zarah, we'll go ahead and, you know, we'll use it some other way. We'll use it for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Use it for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe this is the pshat, that we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that if they had learned that Kriya Shema, the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed, Yerushalayim wouldn't have been destroyed. If they had kept Shabbos, Yerushalayim wouldn't have been destroyed. If they had had a passion for child education, educate children, Yerushalayim wouldn't have been destroyed. If they had a passion that to be careful and how they act upon other people, Yerushalayim wouldn't have been destroyed. They channel this Yetzer Hara, all this energy somewhere else. What they want to do is they realize they had a problem. And what did they want to do? They wanted to channel it in the proper way. But without davening, you can't go ahead. Without davening, you can't go ahead. I mean, you can't assume that everything is going to happen without that. You have to realize you need a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. You need a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. That's what makes Eretz Yisrael so special. We'll talk about it in 1 second. And why? Because when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you know it's clear you need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? Because when you look outside, you say, oh my gosh, I see there's a lack of water here, right? So you know that come Chodesh Cheshem, we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain. In another country, there's so much water. Here's a lack of water. So the Gemara is telling us in Maseches Sanhedrin, that yes, they wanted the channel in a certain way, as we'll see in a second. But they had to daven also. They had to daven. And certain things can't be channeled. Yes, you can channel a rise a certain way also. The desire to be together with males and females, the male to be together with female. So that you can that you can channel the proper way. You can't get rid of that. But the Yetzer for the Zohar, that passion can be transferred into something else. But you have to daven. Without davening, it might not help. So this Gemara is talking about how they wanted to channel it, but they had to daven also. As we look in source number 9, the Gemara Maseches Kedushin says like this: Tanu Rabbanan, v'samtem es devarai elu. So what does v'samtem mean? This is a pure medicine. Nimshla Torah kisam chayim. The Torah is compared to medicine of life. Mashal shel adam shehiket es beno mak gedola v'niach lo retia amakaso. So it's a mashal to a person that hit his son, okay, hard Gemara to understand, and he put a band-aid on the makkah. But Amarlo, he said to him, kol zman sheretia zua makascha, anytime this band-aid is on your makkah, you can eat what you want to eat, drink what you want to drink. You can bathe in hot water and cold water, and you don't have to be afraid. But if you go ahead, and if you remove the band-aid, you should know you're not going to be well. You can have blisters. So our Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you Yetzer Hara. Alright? But I gave you a spice. Something to control the Yetzer Hara. And if you're Osik in Torah, you learn Torah, you realize Torah is special. And therefore you'll make a bracha, you won't be given over into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. And that's when the Jewish people came back, they realized we have to find ways to channel it. And the truth, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot of Torah that was learned. We have to channel it. That's what happened when they came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's what Gemara is about, channeling the desires that we have in the proper way so we don't have to sort of distract us from the things that are incorrect, the things that are wrong. And that's what happened after the Churban Bayis Rishon. If you look at source number 10, so in source number 10, Amar Rav Avua, Amar Rav Elazar. And the reason why I'm quoting this Gemara is you'll see because what the Rosh says. He says, Amar Rav Avua, Amar Rav Elazar. Why was Avram Avinu punished? The Jews have to go to Mitzrayim for 210 years. So obviously, we'll see in a few minutes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram why. But the Gemara asked that question. Why is it that Avram Avinu was punished? And he sent Am Yisrael, his descendants, to Eretz Mitzrayim for 210 years. So he says, why? Nay, she also angarit ham nechachamim. So one shot is that he went ahead and he sent Talmidei Chachamim into the army to fight a certain war for him. He should have left them alone. He didn't need them. Okay? That's one shot. When he went to fight a war against the five kings, so he went ahead and he brought Talmidei Chachamim to fight with him. He should have left them alone. Shmuel Amar, Ibnei Shehifriz al Midos Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he really went above and beyond in talking to God. God said to him, no, you know what? Your Jews will inherit Israel. That wasn't good enough for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had to ask, how do I know? And Rabbi Yochanan says, because he stopped people from being nichnas tachas kampei Ashkina. That what happened after the war was over, so the Melech Stone said to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu gave him the nefesh. And he says, Tainli on nefesh or rechush kachloch. And Avraham should have said, no, I want the people. Because the people would have become close to Avraham, they would have recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. So look at source number 11, the Rush, on the Akamara, asks the question. I don't understand. He says, why is the Gemara asking why Avraham was punished? The Jews went down to Mitzrayim. The Torah clearly says, Avraham Avinu says, "Bamei da'kei Rishana," and boom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should know, your children's descendants will be in a land that does not belong to them. So the Rush says, "Mibnei aveira zu, hen yishoso liyosnova ma'eda." In other words, how did Avraham Avinu come to ask such a question? How did it happen that he would ask such a question? A lot of times you do something wrong, we say, oh my gosh, it was the wrong thing to do. And because that, we're going to suffer. But you have to ask yourself, what caused me to do this? Why did such a thing go ahead and happen? You know, sometimes a person might not talk in a dignified manner. And he might ask himself, and because of that, you know, someone will respond to him in a very undignified way. He says, why did this person go ahead and respond to him in an undignified way? I'll tell you a story. One time I was driving with a person on one of the roads in Eretz Yisrael. There was a backup. Something was going on. So he decided, I would never do this. He wanted to cross the double line to see what was going on. And there was a truck in front of him. And what was on another side of the truck? A policeman got pulled over. But anyone know what the fine is for crossing double line in this country? I think at that time, it was like 1,000 shekel. So he comes back in the car and he says to me, for what aveira do you think this happened? I said, it's very simple. You crossed a double line. Yeah, so he says, no, but what caused me to cross a double line? I know it crossed the double line. He was impatient. He wanted to go. He wanted to get home, right? But, in other words, let's say, for example, a person go ahead, you know, talking on the phone while you're driving is a horrible thing to do, all right? Besides the fact that you can lose your license, it's a big penalty, okay? So, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm actually quite trained, okay, not to touch my phone when I'm driving. I don't care what's going on, okay? If the phone keeps ringing, I'll pull over, all right? So he says, there are people, though, I see it all the time. People who drive, you see there's no policeman around, I see it all the time. He says, what causes them to talk while they're driving? Okay. Maybe you're too focused on people think that when a call comes in, the world's about to come to an end. You know, so you have to know. Whatever it is. So the Rush says, what caused Avraham to come there? So the same thing we can say, as we'll see in a minute. We talk about the destruction of the first base of Migdash. What caused the Jews to come to a place where they'd be over Gilei Arayos? They'd be over Shfichas Damim? They'd be over Avodah Zarah? It's because they weren't focused enough on these Averis. You understand what it means to keep a Shabbos? You understand what it means to make Birchas HaTorah? I think that they say that the Nazir, Rav David Cohen is his name, Nazir. So he was, as we know, he was very smart. And how did he be? He wasn't religious. He was in university. Does anybody know how he became religious? He heard Rav Kook say the Yeratzon of the Akedah. That was it, done. He said, Birchas HaTorah, put you in the right spot. To channel the passion, the energy somewhere. And that's how the Rush, he says, that's how the Rush goes ahead. And he explains. If you look at source number 12, Rav Dov Baruch Pabarsky explains a similar idea. He says, he asks the question, Bnei Ma Avdo Aretz. Gemara asks, why was the land destroyed? Because of Birchas HaTorah? So he says, I don't understand, he says. The Torah says very clearly, Parshas Kisoto, Tachas HaShulavad HaShem L'Kech, V'Simcha Tuv Lev. Yudhiz of Hashem, V'Simcha Tuv Lev. He says, and the Rambam mentions how important Simcha is. Simcha, by the way, my father explained it, is a sense of accomplishment. If you learn something well, you accomplish something. He explains, because the source of all averos is the fact we don't have enough simchas ha-mitzvah. You don't realize the accomplishment, the importance of every single mitzvah. And if a person is able to go ahead and learn the simcha, then he'll be able to go ahead and he'll be able to do certain mitzvahs. Right? So he says, so therefore if a person realizes how important Talmud Torah is, he'll say Birchas HaTorah b'simcha. But the real we're talking about is we're talking, the question we have to ask is how do we get there? And we realize if we go ahead and we channel things the right way, we find, he says, we find that we find a way to channel the passion in the proper way. So then we'll be able to go ahead and we'll be able to do the mitzvahs in the proper, we'll be able to do what we're supposed to do. So when they came back after the first destruction of the first temple, they came back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they realized that. And they said, we can't just build the Beis HaMikdash. We have to build it in a way where we'll be able to somehow channel our passion in the right way, that we shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. And deal with the incest, and even the Shvichas Domim. But we have to channel the right way, and that's what they davened about. So if we go ahead and look, and that's what happened after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Alright, so he says, and the Mitzvah David says the same idea, that if they would have learned Torah, they would Hasbam is Torasi, they forsake the Torah. If they would have learned Torah properly, and understood Torah properly, they would never have come to these Averis. So that was destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. That was how they built the second Beis HaMikdash. But now, we're referring to the third Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, well, why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? There was not idolatry. There was not Shvichas Dam. Well, there was a little Shvichas Damim, but it wasn't like the first Beis HaMikdash. The leaders were not promoting it. And I would assume that there was not Gilui Arayos either. So the Gemara says, "Lamikdash Sheni, Shaya Oskim B'Torah." They were very involved in Torah. Rabbi Akiva said that before he learned Torah, he was considered an outsider. There was so much Torah around. The mitzvos Gilas Chasadim, Libnei Ma'acharav. Why? Why was it destroyed? Libnei Shohaisabo Sinas Chinam. There was a certain hatred that came for no reason. Lamedcha, to teach you, the Gemara says, Sheshkula Sinas Chinam Keneged Shalosh Averos, that Sinas Chilam is parallel to the three major sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. So now, very nice, I said, it's equal. What's worse? Shalosh Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gedolim, what was the bigger sin? The first Beis HaMikdash, destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash? Oh, Achronim and Gedolim, or would destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. Amar Lemi says, what? You want an answer, intellectual answer? You want a lumdash answer? The very simple answer. Tnu einechem bevira. Look at the Beis HaMikdash. It took 70 years to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. 70 years of destruction, and 70 years later they came back. But to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, we're close to 2,000 years. And you know what? We haven't even built the foundations yet. Ika de Amre, he says, some say, Amr lehem eidechem biro. You want to know what's worse? You have a witness. The Beis HaMikdash, he says, Beis HaMikdash is basically the proof. So let's look. So what do we do? So there's a Medrash Shmos Rava, Parshas Mishpatim, source number 15, Parsha Lamed. Ve'elim Mishpatim. David Omar, David says, Yiras Hashem Tahora Medes La'ad. Fear of God is pure, it stands forever. Mahu, Kach Atamotze, Adam, Shona Medrash, Halachas V'Agados. Can have a person who can learn Medrash, Halacha Agadata. Im ein biyo yirash chait, if he has no yirash chait, ein biyado klum, he has nothing. Mashal adam sheomer lechaveiro yesh li elef midos shel tfuah. First, I can say I have 11, you know, a thousand measures of tefua. Yesh li elef midos shel shemen. I have tons of oil. Elef shel yayin, tons of wine. Amar lechavero yesh lecha v'tikot liten otam v'em. He says, do you have a place to store it? A place to put it? Im yesh loch hakol shelach v'im lav em yod chaklum. Kach adam shonem hakol amru lo. Person can learn everything. You say to him, if you have it, he says, He says, V'kach nemar Yiras Hashem tahora. Yiras Hashem is so important because Yiras Hashem makes sure that we maintain, we keep everything that we learn. And then the Medrash finishes off and says, V'navi tzaveach, but the Navi screams out. It's a very nice Medrash, very nice pasuk in Tehillim. But the mishpat he padded, tio mishpat he padded v'shavav v'tztaka. Mishpat ul tio v'redeem with mishpat, and those return with tztaka. And what does this mean? So Netziv in Harchev Dover points out, he says, v'alakacha inyan, shalomen v'dechsiv yirshem tahora, Achar kolam mikros, Torah Hashem temimo, Edith Hashem, Pekudi Hashem, the Sama Yisrael, Mitzvah Hashem, the Achar kach yiras Hashem. As we said, Lamlamed, the Chol Eilu Tolu va'omed. Everything depends on what? Everything depends on yiras Hashem. Below ze einam klum. Or a mishpat Hashem ksiv la'achar yiras Hashem. But mishpat Hashem comes after yiras Hashem. L'manna mizeh, the low canes chutz mishpatim. Then when it comes to mishpatim, unbelievable, that does not depend. Interesting. Da filu b'li yiras Hashem, even without yiras Hashem, yesh b'hem schutz sh'osam meishar min l'reyu. Amazing, Barachav Dover. He says, even without yiras Shemayim. For some people who are so honest, that it's not because of the halacha. It's not because of the halacha that it says a person shouldn't steal. He shouldn't steal. But it says, how can a person steal? Remember many years ago, I think there was a whole, I'm sure if it was in the Commentator or another paper, YU paper, there was a whole discussion about cheating and exams. And then I think there was a tshuva from Rav Moshe where he talks about stealing the, I went to school in Chicago, Illinois. The Regents. I think Rav Moshe said it's also steal the Regents, something like that, right? Okay. And my father questioned, like, he doesn't understand, right? Why does there say such a thing? You have to say it's also steal the Regents. Of course, it's also steal the Regents. That's the idea that sometimes to understand that it's also, you know, sometimes you have to know well. Is this called stealing? It is not called stealing. All right? You know, there's a story about my father. I don't know if people know this story. So one time, I guess it was after my father moved to Chicago, and my grandmother was still well, Revitin Soloveitchik. So my father brought my grandmother to Chicago to visit. So they get to the airport. I imagine it must be a very strange discussion. This, you could do this in the 60s. And there's my father with my grandmother. And the lady at the counter says, you know, in those days you could buy tickets to the airport without a problem, right? She says, sir, this is your lucky day. Today we have a companion fare. Fly, pay for one fare, and your spouse goes for half price. My father said, it's very nice, but this is not my spouse. So he says, that's okay, sir, don't worry about it. So he says, my father said, are you authorized to say that? It's all right, don't worry about it. He says, I want to speak to your supervisor. I don't know what half of the supervisor said. But such a statement, you should know, comes from, afilu b'li yiras Hashem. Now, it could be the yiras Hashem inspired my father to be machmir about these kind of things. My father would call, my father went to a payphone. Remember the days when you used to use money to call, make a phone call? All right? So he says, and if he found change in the payphone, he would make it his business to call the operator, and he would say, excuse me, my name is Rabbi Soloveitchik. Now, if anyone ever called my father on the phone, or how they called them, my father never said, hello, this is Rabbi Soloveitchik. My father would say, hello, this is Aaron Soloveitchik. Okay? But he told me afterwards, he said, I said, Rabbi, I want to know that I'm a Jew. And he would return the money to the operator. Okay? Did you ever hear such a thing? I don't know about it today. Of course not. We're supposed to return the card. I mean, who uses phone cards today, right? But the same. Because I think my father, tremendous Yiras Shamayim. There's no question, tremendous. You just have to see, you know, how my father run for Shulchan Aruch. But when it came to this is Chus Mishpatim. He says that what? Why is Chus Mishpatim? The few believe Yiras Hashem. Yesh Bohem Chus. So Osa Meshorim Be'an L'Reyehu. Ba'alzem Mishayim Da'anavi Tzaveyach Tziyom Mishpati Padech. The Nehi she'ein lo chastor masin tovim, she'ein lo shemayim, ach she'ov the bodes chachavim. There might not be chus Torah, aval ikati b'chus mishpati pade. V'chein shavel v'tstaka, he says, v'kach hoya sheva don chus mishpati and gavra esal kol drachav. So I guess sheva don had this chus of tstaka. But he says, the idea of mishpat, geula comes through mishpat, of making sure that people get along with each other, and even in a certain sense, without the Yiras Shamayim, to realize that being the third base of Mikdash, yes, we need chus mishpat, people getting along, not stepping each other's toes, and to realize this chus mishpat. He says you don't even about this chus Torah, this chus Yiras Shamayim, but it's not. It has to be with that. We have this chus mishpat. Wasn't it have to be this chus mishpat? I think the idea is that a lot of times we can channel things a certain way. If a person does not work on his netiyah, his inclination, they have chus mishpat. You can be involved in Torah. You can be involved in Eretz Yisrael. You can be involved in child education. Right? But you can't bring people together. In other words, what worked after the Churban Bayis Rishon is not going to work today. We can't say, you know what? So I'm going to try to channel my energy to Machlokas somewhere else. He says, if you don't have the ability to tolerate something, you don't become a friend. That's even ignored sometimes. You have to respond in a negative way. There's no way to channel that. As a matter of fact, so there's a very famous Tshuva Saran, Parshas Chayesara, or it's Rosh Saran, I should say, that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu said to Eliezer, I want you to go ahead and I want you to find a wife for my son Yitzchak. And not in Eretz Canaan. It has to be somewhere else. As the Pasuk says, V'ashbiyacho, v'ashem elokei, ha'shemayel elokei, ha'arachel, v'sikach ishel, livniv, nosaknani, ha'shenokhi, ha'shevikirbo. So I want you to swear that you won't take a wife from my son from the Nos Canaan where I live. So the Drosh Aran asks, famous question, a lot of people ask, why was he against the Nos Canaan? Why? Because they worship idolatry. Everyone worship idolatry. So why did he want someone from Nos Haran? And the Ran uses the words, he says, at least the people in Haran have a certain sense of midos. They might have worshipped Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah you can change. But it's very difficult to go ahead and to change midos, to change how you relate to other people. You know, there's a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. I might have mentioned this. Two famous stories. One story is more famous. It's a very famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, that once there was a boy in his yeshiva in Radin, there was Machal Shabbos. He smoked on Shabbos. And they had a seventh ramen. They got together, and all the ramen were aflame, upset with the throw out of the yeshiva. And the Chafetz Chaim says, no, let me talk to him. And as the story goes, it was heard many years later, the Chafetz Chaim took the boy in his hand, the boy's hand in his hand, looked him in the eyes and cried, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. And this boy was Chozer B'tshuva. Okay. The second part of the story is, a little while later, you know, in those days, not every yeshiva had a functioning dormitory. So what you would do is you would rent apartments from people, and certain people made a living by renting apartments yeshiva bachram. And there was one almana, excuse me for referring to her this way, but it sounded like she was a very unpleasant lady. Okay? And she made life very difficult. And she also had a lot of boys who rented from her. But little by little, they all left. They couldn't deal with it. Except for one boy, a few other boys, one boy who specifically stayed there because he felt very bad leaving her alone. And one day she said something to him, and he responded in a very inappropriate and negative manner. When it had a separate ramen, the staff meeting talking about it, the Chofetz Chaim said we have to throw him out. So the Rebbeim said to him, I don't understand. A person's Machal Shabbos, you don't throw him out. And here he had a chutzpah to a lady who maybe was very bitter, a bitter old lady, you're going to throw him out? And the Chofetz Chaim said, I didn't throw the first boy out because I knew he could be chozer b'tshuva. But the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Az Panim LeGehenim, that someone who has chutzpah goes to Gehenim. What does that mean? It's very difficult. It's extremely difficult, almost, I use the word almost impossible to change. And therefore, if I can't help them, I can't have an Az Panim, someone with chutzpah in the yeshiva. What's the point? The point is that Yitzchak told Eliezer, okay, Haran, they worship idols, we can deal with that. We can channel the passions in a different way. We can bring them back, it's not a problem. But when a person has challenges on interpersonal levels, he can't relate well to other people, that's very difficult to change. There you can't channel it. There you have to say, you know what? If there is someone I have a problem with, I have to love him. It's hard. I have to overpower myself and him with love. That's the only way we're going to rebuild the second base on Mikdash. So if you look at source number 18, a quote from Leo Bakshi Daron, he asks the question, he says, we know the second base on Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. What does Sinas Chinam mean? He says, V'yesh Sinas Chinam Sinas She'enah Mutzdeket. What does Sinas mean? It means a hate that's not justified. There's no reason. And let's say, for example, a person does not like another Jew. An Ashkenazim with Svardim, Chassidim with Misnagdim, different place where you come from. That's called Sinas Chinam. Or, different Ashkofa. Ula Mahi Avas Chinam. What does Avas Chinam mean? Famous Rav Kook, we're going to build the second, third base on Mikdash of Avas Chinam. Is there an Ava that's not justified? Every Ava to someone else is a mitzvah. So if I see a Jew I never met in my life, and probably I'll never see this Jew again, I want you to know it's a mitzvah because it says, Shenemar v'yahavtal recha kamocha. I would tell you, when I was in Budapest, I heard more Hebrew in the streets than I hear in Ramat Beit Shemesh. It's true. As a matter of fact, I'm walking to Shul Friday night and I bump into these people. I seem Jewish. Some that you couldn't tell. This Moshe from Iran comes over to me. So an Israeli stops me and we have a discussion. And I'm walking home from Shul Sunday morning and all of a sudden on the street I hear someone's on Google Maps. I hear Hebrew come out of the phone. I say to him, Ah, come Israel, came. Like, I'm not like that, by the way. Like I usually don't have discussions with strangers in the street. But he was a good excuse. Why? Because he's Jewish. What does God do with anything? Kol Adam Bashir Hu Adam Chaviv. He says, Hu Kalashim Mishav Avos. Chaviv says, tell him. He says, and if we're a Jew from Yisrael, the Chiv Yisera. Because Chaviv Yisrael. See, so therefore, when you go ahead and you love a Jew, which is justified, every single Jew, so how do you have Avos Chinam? He says, it's son of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, so what does Avas Chinam mean? Avas Chinam means that you love somebody without getting anything back in return. We all have friends. You know, Mishnah says, Knei Lecha Chaver. You have to acquire a friend. Because if you have a friend, someone you can talk to, you talk to him, you're nice to him, you know, he'll pay you back. You don't think about that. We all have friends with social circles. And we get something out of it. What's Avas Chinam? Avas Chinam is that you love somebody not because you can get something out of it, because he is a Jew. That's why you love. He says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we are supposed to love other Jews. And that's the answer. How we build the third Beis HaMikdash? The third Beis HaMikdash, by the way, has to come as Jews come together. Because it's like if you have a shul, and I'll just point out that out in a second, what's the difference between, you know, Baruch Hashem, we all have nice shuls. Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash for? Okay, it's true, Karbonos. But one thing that makes our shuls different than the Beis HaMikdash, one major factor is if we go through this room, I'm sure we'll find how many shuls are represented here as members. How many shuls did you say? It's 20, 30, 40. Maybe everyone here has his own shul. I have no idea, okay? It's very possible, all right? But the Beis HaMikdash belongs to every Jew. So if you have a shul and you're discussing, well, what, should you get a Tajiran air conditioner or this kind of air conditioner? You have to have voted the membership. And membership doesn't get along. You can't put in an air conditioner. So he says, we need a Beis HaMikdash. The membership has to get along. Well, who's the membership of the Beis HaMikdash? We all are. Every single Jew is. So it's obvious we have to have Avas Chinam. But you know what? It's not going to come. Okay, you know what? Oh my gosh, I don't like this guy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn a Das Gemara right now. It doesn't work that way. We have to love him. We have to have Avas Chinam. That's the idea. That's how we build it. So if we went ahead and we built the second Beis HaMikdash by channeling our passions, using in a more positive manner. For those who learn Daf Yomi, so recently at the very end of Erechin, the Gemara asked, mentioned that that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot destroy Yetzer HaRa Vodazara because he didn't have Chosim Eretz Yisrael. But Yeshua Ben Nun, why didn't he do that? He should have been Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's a question. Why? Because a passion for Eretz Yisrael, somehow or another, directing your passion towards the land of Israel, can take away from Vodazara. And there's so many ways to channel that passion in a positive manner. And Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael, the generations, has done well with that. But how about Sinas Chinam, Avas Chinam? That's very difficult. That you can't go ahead and change a person's midos by challenging in a different way. You have to train him. Yes, you have to act properly. You have to love a Jew. So the way the third Beis HaMikdash will be built is not by channeling. It's by making a decision to go ahead and to love every Jew. And it's very, very, very difficult. It's very difficult. And I'll just say the first step, and this kicks into Yom Merayim, is not to mevatel. But we have to go ahead and we have to realize it's very relevant to us. And it doesn't mean that, you see, every Jew, you have to give them a hug. Some Jews, you don't want a hug. I have no idea why not. There are Jews who don't want a hug. But you have to say, listen, he's another person. I care about him, and maybe it's not good for me to talk to him right now, not good for him. But to say, I love that Jew, I wish I could talk to him, I wish I could do something. That's the idea. And that's how we have to prepare for the third Beis HaMikdash to somehow or another, because that will bring us all together. Not channeling. We have to change that midah to go ahead and say, I have to love a Jew. And I can't channel, I have to work on loving. Now we're a few hours before the 9 days, so it's really time to start speaking about, thinking about it, of working in this midah, of loving Jews, realize it's relevant, and we all have to go ahead and we have to do it. Mr. Shem, listen, there's still a chance where we could see, we could see big things happening, big good things happening. We should be zocha to that. Everyone should have the rest of the summer. It should be a wonderful summer.